If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Hi, I'm Shadow Stevens. On this episode of Nostalgia Stories, WGN sister station Antenna TV spoke with Larry Thomas. Listen as we chat with Larry about Seinfeld and more on this episode of Antenna TV's Nostalgia Stories. What was your inspiration for the character?
It's hard to say. Really, the name of the character, you know, kind of told me exactly what I thought he would be like. But I also, you know, I thought of a little bit of the hysteria of the speeches that you see from, you know, Hitler from news footage. And because I just happened to look a lot like Saddam Hussein, I went in an army uniform and a beret. No, you know how I got the part is I resemble Al Yeagane, who was the inspiration for the character, for the writer. And he just thought I most sort of acted like him, even though I didn't even know he existed. So developed the character. But yes, 8 years later, I met him. Well, we didn't really talk too much about it, but as I talked to people that knew him more and more, you know, he was a guy that would give police officers free soup, you know, all the time. He would give any homeless person a free cup of soup. He was very generous, and he was a man with a good heart and a really short fuse and a bit of a loose cannon. So, you know, if you just said the wrong thing to him, or if you didn't follow his rules, because, like, they had footsteps and everything painted on the ground. And if you didn't follow his rules, then he might just totally start screaming at you. No, like I said, when I met him, he was totally nice to me. And he actually confided in me that he thought it was very funny, you know. And that, you know, his anger towards the episode was... It was more for business than real.
What was it like working with the cast of Seinfeld?
It was my favorite show at the time. And, you know, in my household, it was everybody's favorite show. It was terribly intimidating. But also, it was incredibly easy because the cast couldn't have been nicer to me. So there was, like, nothing to be nervous about with Jason Alexander calling me La on the first day of, you know, rehearsal. And so I felt so welcomed by them that, because every guest actor that does a television show feels this, you feel like the new kid in school. You know, everybody knows each other intimately and nobody knows you and you don't know them. But they made me feel like they knew me, you know, and it was really easy to get to know them. I think the intimidating part was just knowing that the kind of money that went into the show and the kind of production values made you feel like if you made a mistake, you know, you're probably costing them more money than they were paying you.
Did you ever think that that character would be so popular?
Like I said, it was probably the easiest job I ever had. The fact that it's the most successful is just a phenomenon that seems to grow a little bit every year, you know. And like I say to people on Facebook when they tag me in, like, No Spring for You, you know, I always go, like, I've been through about 30 springs since I've done that show. So, you don't have to remind me. But yeah, every year that it either gets bigger or stays the same amazes me. I never expected that character to be anything more than just, you know, a four-day job. And it's just, it amazes me. And it's also really cool that the show itself is this multi-generational phenomenon. I wouldn't have thought that would happen because of the specifics of the humor of it. But at the same time, I totally understand it because we watched it again recently from, you know, the pilot to the end, to the finale. And we were laughing our heads off, and I've seen them so many times.
What do you think made Seinfeld such a unique sitcom?
It was definitely great, great writing and really specific writing. Larry, oh, there was a lot of ad-libbing from the cast. I only ad-libbed one word, or the lack of one word, because I was, you know, I was too nervous, and the script was perfect anyway. But the line "come back in 1 year," I just dropped the "in," as I thought it just sounded more like the character. You know, come back 1 year, and you know they liked it, so they kept it. But they themselves made up all kinds of stuff.
Yeah,
you know, Julia in my episode, just in a rehearsal, created that whole thing where George is about to finally, like, confront Jerry with how obnoxious the whole schmoopy thing is, and he needs her to back him up, and she kind of saunters around the back of the couch, and just as he goes right Elaine, the door slams and she's gone. She made that up in a rehearsal, and they kept it. So, yeah, with them, there was a lot of that.
What was it like working with Leah Thompson?
It was great working with everyone in that cast, but that was probably the wildest week I ever had, because I played three different characters during the course of the rehearsal week until they got to the maitre d' at the end that I played. I got hired playing a mugger that was mugging Amy Peetz because she was the I'm on fire down there girl, and I ended up mugging somebody for a pen so I could get her autograph. And then they cut the scene and they made me a male nurse in the Rosemary scene when she was in the old folks home, and then they felt I was a little too intimidating for that part, so then they wrote this scene with the maitre d' at the end when Amy Peetz is trying to get a table, and you know, I tell her there's nothing because we have the pay tag repairman.
Right.
So that was the wildest week. Every night I'd get a call from the producer going, like, we cut your character, but we still want you to come back in tomorrow.
Yeah.
And every day I'd come back in to find out who's going to be my new character. So I'll always remember that week.
Yeah.
And I remember at one point when I first played the maitre d', I tried a French accent, and they kind of, like, shot it down. And Amy threw a fit. She goes, he's working so hard this week, and I thought that was a really great choice, you know. And
she's great.
Yeah,
she's,
and I followed her to her dressing room, and I said, you don't have to do that. And my encounter goes, I'm sorry, I just, you know, you're working so hard. And my friends go, how come you don't keep in touch with, like, people you've worked with? And I go, because, you know, you work with someone once, and I'm not the kind of guy to go, hey, can I have your phone number, you know, and that kind of thing. Like, you know, when we did the Dallas show and I first saw Gina Davis, I wanted to remind her that we had a scene together on her sitcom. You know, so luckily I had a snapshot of it and showed it to her. But, yeah, you know, I think the only reason why we're friends, this group and I, is because we all spent a lot of time together in the finale. Not only on the set rehearsing, and there was very little rehearsal for us, but we had TV guide shoots and all kinds of different promotional things, kept running into each other until we actually did become friends.
Tell us about working with Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Married to an actress at the time. And my credo is with comedy has always been, the only way I can be funny is if I take it totally seriously. And so, you know, I was working on this character and I came up with a really funny voice, and I finally thought, this is just too silly. And luckily for me, just before I left for the audition, she goes, remember your own credo, just take it seriously. And I didn't. It was one of those auditions where I got back in my car and got a call from my manager saying they booked you. So that was really cool. The only thing that was tough about it was the writer, because I had, you know, I'm forgetting her name, but, you know, it's a man and a woman. And he thought we were his breakout characters. And he said, I'm going to make sure we get you guys back with other storylines and stuff. And they never did, you know. But other than that, it was fun. Melissa was just a doll.
She's a doll.
Yeah. Except it was so funny because he was talking about being somewhere in Vegas and having drinks, and I kind of was like looking at her, and she goes, I'm actually over 21.
What are some of your favorite classic TV shows?
It's kind of hard, but I could lean on The Honeymooners for that. But close runners up are The Dick Van Dyke Show and The Andy Griffith Show. And I think Frasier is one of the most brilliantly written and acted shows ever. I'm rewatching Cheers right now because I forgot how great Cheers was. We have a history of a lot of great sitcoms and a lot of bad ones. You know, people go like, "Who are the greatest sitcom characters of all time?" And I have a three-one there: Ralph Cramden, Barney Fife, and Rosemary's character from the Dick Van Dyke Show, Sally Rogers, because they were the three characters in sitcom-dom that could make you cry and laugh. And I think that's really something.
Thanks for listening. Check out other episodes of Nostalgia Stories at WGNRadio.com/AntennaTV. Or for video versions of this podcast, go to YouTube.com/AntennaTV.